Good morning, everyone. You're listening to the World Teacher Program for Share International New Zealand on Planet FM 104.6. Each Friday morning, we bring you information from the teachers of the Ageless Wisdom. The purpose of our program is to introduce Maitreya, the world teacher for the Age of Aquarius. Maitreya does not come alone. He brings with him the Masters of Wisdom, a group of highly evolved teachers who work in many fields and teach us the art of living, how to work in right relationship with each other. With their inspiration, we can transform our civilization, creating justice and peace, and use the technological advances available to us. Approximately every 2,500 years, a new teacher brings a body of teaching to humanity that is suited to our needs at that particular time. Usually this takes place at the end of an age. Right now, as the age of Pisces declines and our solar system aligns with the constellation Aquarius, new energies are beginning to make themselves felt. As these Aquarian energies of sharing and justice stream into our planet, the need for change can be seen more clearly. A period of chaos ensues as the old order lessens its grip on humanity, and the impulse of sharing, justice and peace inspires us to move forward in evolution as a united group.
And good morning, everyone. It's wonderful to have you with us, and welcome to you all. With climate strikes and activism in the media spotlight, we'll start today with Extinction Rebellion making things inconvenient. We've got extracts from an article by Andrea Germanos. Here's a little quote from Naomi Klein. There is nothing more inconvenient than being hit by a Category 5 hurricane by having a wildfire raise your town. As Extinction Rebellion activists in London on 16th of October 2019 ramped up their latest mobilization with a 10th consecutive day of action, author Naomi Klein pushed back against criticism of the climate protesters and said the climate crisis itself is what's truly disruptive. In an interview with Sky News presenter Adam Bolton, and this was posted on the same day, Klein refuted the notion that a lot of action to address the climate crisis is being taken by politicians, saying their lack of sufficient action is what has drawn youth climate and Extinction Rebellion activists into the streets across the world in October.
Klein's interview came as the global mobilisation, which had blocked major roads and bridges in their bid to demand greenhouse gas emissions go down to net zero by 2025, staged a number of actions in defiance of a London-wide ban by London Metropolitan Police, who issued an order banning any assembly linked to the Extinction Rebellion autumn uprising within the city. Yes, it's inconveniencing people, said Klein. As somebody who has covered natural disasters that are fueled by climate change for 15 years, there is nothing more inconvenient than being hit by a Category 5 hurricane or by having a wildfire raise your town. Let me tell you how inconvenient it is for the people in Paradise, California, 14,000 of whom lost their homes, she said. Climate change is really, really inconvenient. And so if people have to deal with this inconvenience of some protests in London to get the attention of politicians who have been focused on a singular way on the emergency of Brexit, then so be it.
One action was a People's Assembly in Trafalgar Square in which roughly 2,500 activists gathered to strategize responses to what they say is the government's continued inaction on the climate crisis. Among those in the square detained by police was journalist and activist George Monbiot. Alan Hogarth, head of advocacy and programs at Amnesty International UK, called the protest ban a heavy-handed and unacceptable move by the Metropolitan Police. Certain disruption to ordinary life for protesting is natural and it needs to be tolerated, said Hogarth. The police must respect the rights of those peacefully protesting and ensure that the voices of those demanding action on tackling the climate crisis are allowed to be heard.
Swedish climate activist Greta Thunberg also weighed in on the ban in a tweet. If standing up against the climate and ecological breakdown and for humanity is against the rules, then the rules must be broken. And this article was published originally on the commondreams.org website.
Now, on a positive note, a cause for optimism can be found in an invention called the sea broom. And we have an article titled Boyan Slat's Sea Broom, and which was launched successfully. And in it he mentions a Dutch student's concept of an ambitious ocean cleaning device to rid the oceans of plastic debris. Their concept was first promoted or proposed in 2012. It's only taken 9 years. In the intervening years, 25-year-old entrepreneur Boyan Slat and his team at the Ocean Cleanup, a non-profit group, have been working to prove the feasibility of his concept. The design has undergone several major revisions, such as the addition of a parachute anchor to slow down the device's movement in the ocean so that faster-moving plastic debris can float into the system. The Ocean Cleanup system was recently launched and it successfully picked up plastic from the high seas for the first time.
There is concern among marine biologists about the bycatch of microscopic food for fish and turtles. However, the plastic barrier floating on the surface of the sea has a 3 metre deep or 10 foot screen below it, which is intended to collect plastic without disturbing the marine life below. The sea broom is fitted with transmitters and sensors so it can communicate its position via satellites to a vessel that will collect the gathered rubbish. It not only collects plastic from the ocean but also tiny microplastics and retains them. At a press conference in Rotterdam on 2nd of October 2019, Slat said, "After beginning this journey 7 years ago, this first year of testing in the relentless environment of the high seas strongly indicates that our vision is attainable and that the beginning of our vision mission to rid the ocean of plastic garbage, which has accumulated for decades, is within our sights. We now have a self-contained system in what's called the Great Pacific Garbage Patch that is using the natural forces of the ocean to passively catch and concentrate plastics. This now gives us sufficient confidence in the general concept to keep going. The final aim is to clean up the Great Pacific Garbage Patch entirely, which is located in the sea halfway between Hawaii and California and is 3 times the size of France. It is the largest of the 5 offshore plastic accumulation zones in the world's ocean." More information about this device can be found at the website theoceancleanup.com.
And now we have another article from Europe, and this is really very amazing. It's entitled, "Wind Farms Could Produce Enough Energy for the Whole World." A new study by the University of Sussex, published in the journal Energy Policy, reveals that Europe has the capacity to produce more than 100 times the amount of energy it currently produces through onshore wind farms. Europe has the potential to supply enough energy for the whole world as far into the future as 2050. The research suggests that Europe could produce 100 times more energy than it currently does from onshore wind farms. Our studies suggest that the horizon is bright for the onshore wind sector and that European aspirations for a 100% renewable energy grid are within our collective grasp technologically, says Professor Benjamin Sovacool. Obviously, we are not saying that we should install turbines in all the identified sites, but the study does show the huge wind power potential right across Europe, which needs to be harnessed if we're to avert a climate catastrophe.
Onshore wind power is the cheapest mature source of renewable energy, and utilising the different wind regions in Europe is the key to meet the demand for a 100% renewable and fully decarbonised energy system. The study estimates that more than 11 million additional wind turbines could be theoretically installed over almost 5 million square kilometres of suitable terrain. The authors identified Turkey, Russia and Norway as having the greatest potential for future wind power density, although large parts of Western Europe were also considered ripe for further onshore farms because of favourable wind speeds and flat areas. Mark Jacobson, Professor of Civil and Environmental Engineering at Stanford University in the US, said, One of the most important findings of the study, aside from the fact that it concludes that the European onshore wind potential is larger than previously estimated, is that it facilitates the ability of countries to plan their onshore wind resource development more efficiently, thereby easing the way for commitments by these countries to move entirely to clean, renewable energy for all purposes.
And another article called Green New Deal. In August 2019, Vermont Senator and US presidential candidate Bernie Sanders announced his $16.3 trillion Green New Deal plan to fight climate change. He was the first Democratic presidential contender to back the Green New Deal, a reference to Roosevelt's New Deal, an initiative put together in February by Congress's progressive lawmakers. Senator Ed Markey, he's from Massachusetts, and Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and she's from New York. Sanders calls for reaching 100% renewable energy for electricity and transportation by no later than 2030 and complete decarbonization by 2050 at the latest. The main items in his Green New Deal plan: 1. Directly invest an historic $16.3 trillion. 2. A just transition for workers. 3. Declaring climate change a national emergency. 4. Supporting small family farms by investing in ecologically regenerative and sustainable agriculture. 5. Commit to reducing emissions throughout the world. 6. Meeting and exceeding our fair share of global emissions reduction. 6. Making massive investments in research and development. 8. Expanding the climate justice movement. 9. Investing in conservation and public lands to heal our soils, forests and prairie lands. And the last one, making the fossil fuel industry pay for their pollution.
This plan will pay for itself over 15 years. Experts have assessed the plan and its economic effects. In an article about Bernie Sanders' Green New Deal plan, Vox explains, the plan generates money from various sources, including $6.4 trillion US in revenue from selling energy via power marketing authorities and $2.3 trillion from income taxes from the new jobs created under the plan and $1.2 trillion from reducing military expenses related to protecting oil shipping routes. Sanders' proposal is big and bold, and it will incur scepticism. But, as Sanders himself put it, the cost of doing nothing is far more expensive. The source of that was from his website, berniesanders.com, and also from website vox.com.
Right, and now I'm going to include a question and answer from Benjamin Krim, as published in Share International through his master, of course. The question being, most people have emotional lives that are in line with the present age, and I think it will be difficult to change them. I wish I could start my life all over again. What can I do? Please comment. And the reply is, it is true that some people will find it very hard to embrace the future based on a completely different attitude to life. It depends to a certain extent on how old you are. The older people will probably find it more difficult than young people. The world is really divided into two groups of people. Those who, from the emotional and mental view of life, are tied up with the past. They love the past, they have done well in the past, and they cringe to see it disappearing. The old structures, political, economic, religious, and social, all breaking down. And it makes them very frightened indeed. They are Piscean people. The ideas, realities, and structures of the age of Pisces are what they know and knew, and that's how it should stay, they think. They don't want change. Change is painful. Their attitude is that even if the present existence is painful in the extreme, who is to say that change might not be worse? That's the emotional blanket in which many people wrap themselves. Then there are the others, mainly young people, who embrace the new as an advantage. They are sick of the past. They are sick even of the present. They want change. There are also questions here about young people who do nothing. They don't go to school or work. They do nothing at all. But they are probably happy. The old are miserable, stressed out of their wits, while the young are happy, doing nothing. One problem is the Japanese form of education of putting your nose to the grindstone and keeping it there for years and years for 28 hours a day. That's why the young leave employment and education, because it is taken to extremes. You expect the young to work too long hours, so they don't work. You expect them to go to school for 20 hours a day, then they don't want it for even 1 hour. It is always extreme. Everything is pushed to extremes. If it's good, you push it to the farthest extreme until it is no longer good. Japan needs to learn to relax. Take the day off. Shut down all these computers and gadgets. Go to the park and look at the trees. Then you would feel as young as you look. The Japanese always look years younger than they are, but they feel twice as old as they are.
And the reason there's an emphasis on Japan in that question and answer is that it was taken from questions asked after a lecture by Benjamin Krem in Osaka, Japan, in May 2005. Mm. Looks like we have time for a message from Maitreya. And so we have chosen to read out message number 51, which was given back in 1978. My dear friends, I am with you once more. My mission, as I have said, is twofold: to release you from the bondage of your self-imposed limitations and to take you with me back to God. I shall show you that through the right distribution of this earth's manifold resources, all men may enjoy God's bounty. I shall show you, too, that the path to God is simple indeed, that your divine spark will become manifest through me. Let me do this work for you, my friends. Let me lead you into your divine heritage. I shall show you wonders of which you cannot dream. I shall release from your eyes the blindfold of ignorance. I shall drive from this earth forever the curse of hatred, the sin of separation. Let me take you with me, my friends, back to your source, back to the cradle of your being, and release in you your Godhead. My masters will serve you too, will teach you to live together in true brotherhood, in justice and harmony. Forget not, my brothers, that you are one, that the Father of all has created you in his divine image, that through you shines the same blessed light of love and truth. The time is coming, my friends, when the light of truth shall shine all around you, when man shall take his brother to his heart and know him as himself. Let me lead you, my friends, into that blessed state. Say yes to my advent, say yea to my coming, and be enfolded in the blessing of my love. May the divine light and love and power of the one most holy God be now manifest within your hearts and minds. May this manifestation lead you to see yourselves together as children of the one Father.
And thank you very much for being with us today. It's been a pleasure to have you. And if you'd like some more information, you could go to our website, share-international.org, or you may email us at sharenz@yahoo.com. Thank you once again, and love and blessings to you all.